Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Chaitanya
Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Hello, test.
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare
Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Oh my goodness. When we say that Prabhupada nivasesha sunyavadi prachatide satarane, Prabhupada was so strongly preached, spoke, fought against impersonalism, because especially Mayavad. Why? Because it tramples upon our ability to love Krishna. And that was the prema paramartho mahan. This was the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva to overflood the entire world with love for Krishna. Because the world is quite a desert, or we could say it's a reflection of reality, and or going back to saying it's a desert. If we look for water in the desert, we are bound to be very thirsty. So, in the pursuit of extreme personalism, to show, amazingly enough, inconceivably, that the absolute truth, the all-inclusive truth that controls everything, is a person, ultimately. A person just consider what that means. Well, we'll have time to speak about that throughout this series of classes, because we'll start after Krishna held, just after Krishna had held up Govardhan Hill. And when he held up Govardhan Hill, he was playing and laughing, but he didn't move the whole time while he was holding up a hill, and he was 7 years old holding up a hill. Even 15-year-olds or 20-year-olds can't hold up a hill. And he didn't even move. On the weakest finger of his weakest hand, his left hand, he was holding up this hill. And he didn't even shift it from one hand to the other, or just rest for a little bit, sit down for a little while. He just held it up. And the cowherd, all the cowherd community, they were interacting with him in different subtle ways. Mother Yashoda was acting like mother and worrying about, oh, he must be so hungry, and telling Sri Ram to put some butter in his hand so at least he can, and don't play the flute, because if you play the flute, the mountain will turn into a river maybe, and perhaps, and then who will protect us from the rains of angry Indra and the thunderbolts? And Krishna's just standing there and smiling. Sometimes he is playing his flute, and everyone in Braj is completely absorbed, because Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful. Just for a moment, consider what that means, unlimitedly beautiful. I mean, just imagine how attractive an unlimitedly beautiful person is. We can't conceive of unlimited beauty. We can conceive of limited beauty to some degree, but how many times do you have to multiply limited to get unlimited? It's inconceivable, unlimitedly attractive and sweet. And everyone in Braj is staring at him for the whole time, the whole 7 days that he held up the hill. So absorbed in the beauty and sweetness of Krishna, the cowherd men specifically, because that's where the 26th chapter begins, they did not stop for a moment to think, wait, this is, how is this little boy holding up a hill? They didn't think of this because they were so absorbed in this little boy who was holding up the hill. But after Krishna put down the hill, and Sri Gopal Champo describes how in a sweet way that when the rains had stopped, all the cows were under the hill, and Krishna made cowherd boy sounds. I always like to ask if there are any retired cowherd boys here who can make cowherd boy sounds, because we're going to need you a little bit later to, you're laughing. Do you know how to make cowherd boy sounds? Okay. Where, are they here? Okay. In their surrounding. I've heard some of them that make sounds. Probably, do you know how to make them? Okay, no one will admit it. But Krishna made the cowherd boy sounds and telling the cows to move out, and they went out from under the hill, and then they turned around and saw that Krishna was still there, and they rushed back because no one could tolerate whether cows or animals or birds or humans, males, females, young, old, no one could tolerate. This is Krishna, the all-attractive. No one could tolerate being separate from Krishna. Even the blinking of their eyes was intolerable. Can we even imagine this? We can't even conceive of someone so attractive. But we're learning. We're learning. We're here in the school of learning to become, to turn towards Krishna so that we become attracted to him. Because Krishna is always facing us, but we have to turn towards him. So eventually the cows went out and the people went out, and Krishna put down the hill in exactly the same place it had been before, which it's hard to understand exactly how he did it, to put down the hill. Maybe, I don't know if he held it by the edge, because he's under the hill, so it's, it must have been quite tricky to put it down. But he did it, because he has inconceivable power. And he's unlimitedly clever. Unlimitedly clever. Intelligent. And then the cowherd men went home. And the cowherd ladies went home. And the cows went to their cow homes. And the calves went to their calf homes. And the cowherd men began thinking. They began thinking that this boy, he was holding up a hill for 7 days. And not only that, well, let's begin with the first verse of the 26th chapter. The cowherd men were astonished when they saw Krishna's activities, such as lifting Govardhan Hill. But they couldn't understand his transcendental potency. How could this boy be doing this? And therefore, they approached Nanda Maharaj and began to speak to him. They began to speak as follows. Wait, you just have to wait till I tell you to change the slide, so go back. So they were considering up to this point that this boy, he's empowered by, because Nanda Maharaj is such a great devotee of Lord Narayan, he must be empowered by Lord Narayan. He's so pious, he has such an empowered son. Or perhaps he had a benediction, the boy had a benediction, but after seeing this, they thought there must be more to this boy, this Krishna, than this, because they had never seen a 7-year-old boy who could hold up a hill. And they thought that perhaps He is the Supreme Lord himself. But how could he be the Supreme Lord? He's so naughty. He steals butter. He's always playing tricks on us. He's playing with this, he plays with that. No one can control him. He runs here, he runs there. He's cheeky, he lies. Yes, he lies. And yet he does these inconceivable things. So is he an ordinary boy? Or is he unlimited supreme personality of Godhead? They couldn't establish the truth of his identity. Now, looking at this point from a philosophical point of view, this is really heavy philosophy. Because on one hand, here's a person, a boy, and he's doing something that's inconceivable. He has inconceivable power, practically speaking, holding up the hill. How could someone who is unlimitedly powerful, how could an entity who is unlimitedly powerful be a person and have a form and a shape? Because having a form means that one is limited in the sense that here's where my arm begins, perhaps, and it ends over here. It doesn't extend over here. I'm this tight, tall, and I'm not everywhere all at once. Is it possible that a person can be unlimited, infinite? So this is the dilemma that really attacks Mayavad philosophy. And it is a dilemma that sometimes we too struggle with. This boy, is Krishna, yeah. And he plays the flute, why not the violin? Trombone, snare drums. And he likes cows. Specifics in his personality, a peacock feather atop his head. And lives in a cowherd village, and he's unlimited, infinite. That means without any boundaries, and everything is included within him, and yet he's a cowherd boy. Previously, as we shall hear in the next chapter, this is the 26th chapter, and the next chapter is obviously the 27th chapter, we'll hear how this point comes up for Lord Brahma. Because when he, in the 13th chapter of the 10th canto, when he stole away the cows and the boys, and then when he came and he saw them still there, and he saw them still sleeping where he put them, and they were still playing at the same time, and then he looked at this little boy who was 7 years old. Any 7-year-olds here? Only you. So how old, any fathers, how old is it? How tall is a 7-year-old boy usually? No one. Okay. Like this tall, like the top of the hands of Sisi Gornatai from here. And Brahma looked at him with his flute tucked in his belt and his cowherd boy stick tucked on the other side and the buffalo horn. And he looked at him and he's holding the yogurt in his left hand. And suddenly all the cowherd boys and calves, they showed that they were expansions of Krishna in a forearm form. And they were unlimited expansions, unlimited expansions of this little boy. And each of those, consider this, each of those unlimited number of expansions had unlimited power. So unlimited had come from this little boy who didn't diminish, lessen in his power by expanding from him unlimited entities, forms of Vishnu, and each had unlimited power. And he wasn't any less in power. So how, I mean, it's inconceivable, even if you have four heads. And Brahma, practically speaking, fainted when he saw that. He became stunned. And in his prayers, he'll say that let other people say that they know Krishna, but I will never say that. He was confronted with what unlimited infinity actually is. And his finite, great intelligence, finite as it was, could not comprehend it. And he became stunned. So that's what it's like being an intellectual, trying to understand what is the Supreme Absolute Truth. You can't. So the cowherd men were confronted with this in their simple way, and they approached Nanda Maharaj. Now we should go to the next slide. Balakasya Yiritani. And they said to Nanda Maharaj, Balakasya, your boys, the activities, the kamani ati abhutani, why? Adbhuta means they're wonderful, inconceivably wonderful. So your boys, this boy that you love so much, his activities are inconceivably, they are certainly inconceivably wonderful. But if he's the Supreme Lord, Kitam Arhati Aso Janma, how did he deserve to get a birth in a cowherd family, in a village, Gramya Atma, the Jagupsitam? From considering how great he is, why did he take his birth in a village? If he's the Supreme Lord, all the other avatars took their birth in king, royal families, exalted families, and here he is taking his birth in a cowherd village. From this point of view of how great he is, this is amazing. This is ununderstandable. So please go to the next slide. So they said to Nanda Maharaj, since this boy performs such extraordinary activities, how could he warrant a birth amongst worldly men? And this is one of the, Jagtwini Mataji mentioned this yesterday in her introduction, this is one of the characteristics of the Brijbasis. They think themselves ordinary persons. They don't think that they are exalted persons. What to speak of the most exalted persons because of the intimacy of their relationship with Krishna. They just think that they're ordinary people, coward people, gramya people, village people, who have their interest in increasing the number of cows that they have so that they can increase their wealth. Worldly people. So how is it possible that he would accept, because the Lord, he chooses where he's going to take his birth, so how could he accept a birth that would seem contemptible, so low? And then they speak to him about, remember, they're talking. They're not philosophers discussing, or the book isn't about philosophy only. It's discussing these pastimes. So they're talking to Nanda Maharaj, and they, no, there should be a verse in between. Is there a... No? Okay, there isn't. Okay, go on. Why don't you just go back to the last one then. So then they say in the third verse, they remember this most recent example of him holding up the hill. They're talking to Nanda Maharaj and they want him to explain Krishna's position. They say that this seven-year-old boy, this is the third verse, how could he hold up the great Govardhan Hill with one hand, just as a mighty elephant picks up a lotus flower? they were astonished. And this was their most recent example. And then they recite other examples of what Krishna has done that make them think that he's the Supreme Lord. How could this boy, this is their immediate example, who was 7 years old, hold this up? He held up the heaviest of mountains, and he stood there in one position, not even easing his left hand by placing it in his right hand. This, they concluded, is impossible, impossible for anyone to do. And then they think of the next amazing pastime. As a mere infant, just after his birth, practically speaking, when he had hardly yet opened his eyes, so close to his birth time, he drank the breast milk of the powerful demoness whose name was Putana. And she had poisoned her breast, and interestingly, her actual original form, she had taken the form of a beautiful, beautiful goddess, practically speaking. But does anyone know what her actual form was? Anyone happen to know? You happen to know? A maidservant? No. An owl. An owl, you know, in the night. Ooh, ooh. How do you say owl in Hindi? There's a Ulu. It's such a good word, Ulu. She was an Ulu. A Lulu Ulu. But she had so much power, and she came in such a yoga maya, let her in. And she came in with such power and beauty that Yashoda and Rohini, who were together, let her in. And she wanted to feed the child, and they let her feed the child who was still being breastfed. He was just of the youngest age. And she had put poison on her breast, a deadly poison. Just by touching it, the person would die. So Krishna, seeing her, closed his eyes. She had killed many children in Braj before. And she took the child to her chest and pushed the nipple inside the child's mouth, and he began sucking it. And he sucked her life air out. And just as no one, practically speaking, notices how time, the force of time, sucks out the youth of one's body. So there's a little bit of a subtle reminder to us all that you may not notice that it's happening, but indeed it is happening. You might not like the fact that it's happening, but it is happening. Time sucks away our life. Unnoticeably. So just in this unnoticeable way, Krishna, with his angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti, with his all-powerful lips, because every part of Krishna's body is all-powerful, with his all-powerful lips, he sucked out her life. And she was trying to push him off away. Child, leave me, go, stop, leave me. In terror and fear and pain. She was trying to push him off, but she was the killer of children who had come to kill him. And he had come, part of his advent was to kill the asuric, the demonic elements. And she was one of them, a friend of Kamsa's, who Kamsa had sent to kill the children, the born recently. And Krishna would not let her go. And she ran from the house with Krishna still sucking out her life air, trying to push him off and screaming until she expanded into her actual form, which was also quite inconceivable, 8 kilometers, I believe, in size. And Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur puts a bit of irony in there. And when she fell down, she fell on some trees, an orchard of trees, and crushed and destroyed that orchard of trees, which was Kamsa's orchard. And all the fruits that were meant for Kamsa were completely destroyed at that time. And she died in that way. Now, one thing to watch in the description of this pastime, which is in, I think, the 6th chapter of the 10th canto, is that when this was happening in the presence of Yashoda and Rohini, and they had so much, as all the Brijbasis did, they had so much love for Krishna. When this happened, they were shocked, of course. They were terrified, of course. But their shock and their terror, because they loved only Krishna, they were Brijbasis, actual Brijbasis. They fainted. Their life at that time. Has anyone ever fainted? Raise your hand if you've fainted. Oh yeah, we have a lot of fainters. I also once fainted. And it's so, it's interesting because your consciousness just sort of leaves, maybe slowly or maybe quickly, but it just leaves and you're almost, sort of almost watching it happen. That's what I remembered. It was quite a while ago. And they fainted, and they stayed fainted. And all when the demoness died, all the Brijbasis rushed out, and they found her, and Krishna was just playing on her breast, playing. And they took baby Krishna, and they brought him back to placed him on the lap of Mother Yashoda, and just by the fragrance of Krishna, she regained consciousness. Now, Krishna is expert. He's expert in killing demons, but he's most expert, he's Lila Purushottama, he's most expert in bringing out rasa, ecstasy. And ecstasy in Krishna consciousness, it's not flat. Like, I think that a lot of times my desires in Krishna consciousness are sort of just like, I'd like some shanti every now and then, some peace. That would be the goal. And Krishna, please get rid of this problem and this problem and this problem, so I gotta be peaceful and get rid of all the anxieties of life. But Krishna consciousness, if you haven't noticed, doesn't do that. Krishna consciousness, on the other hand, pushes one to always take shelter of Krishna, and that itself is nourishes the natural consciousness of the soul in relationship with Krishna. Instead of being always in relationship with the material world, our consciousness always in relationship with the material world and the material mind and the material sense objects, to place our consciousness in relationship with Krishna. So when she was brought, when Krishna was brought on the lap of Mother Yashoda, his fragrance entered her nostrils, and she was brought back to consciousness. Now just imagine the experience that she, who loved Krishna completely, like we can't even imagine, and Krishna, who is beyond our imagination lovable, unless one is a lover of Krishna. Because as we were saying, how do you conceive of the all-attractive, the all-beautiful, the all-intelligent, the all-wealthy, the all-renounced? How do we place the concepts of infinity within our finite minds? They don't fit. But by watching the consciousness and the activities of the Asraya Tattva as they deal with the Vishaya Tattva, those who are the abode of love, who have an ocean of love within them for Krishna, we can get a glimpse of what rasa, what relationship with Krishna is. So by that fragrance, she came back to life. The life again entered her body. And Krishna, one can say, well, Yogamaya engineers this. And then just going from the point of I have no existence left in my body, because everything I've placed all my value, all my love, all my life in this most beautiful child, and he's gone. And then suddenly he's returned. And you see, she slowly opened her eyes and saw Krishna. And just, you can't imagine, but just try. What kind of happiness came through Mother Yashoda? It's like, just like if you lost your mobile phone and then suddenly you found it again. Just like, but more. If you take so many zeros, how many zeros do you have to multiply before you get a real number? So they remembered this, that this boy did that. Another inconceivably powerful incident. And then another one. When he was 3 months old, little Krishna was crying and kicking up his feet as he lay beneath a huge cart. And this was the incident when he was still a little boy, little baby in his cradle. And at the time when he has enough strength to turn over by his own power, then a festival was held by the ladies of the village. And Mother Yashoda, that had happened. This is the first time the child is taken out of the house. He's strong enough to deal with the outside environment to some degree under the protection of his mother. So he was crying a bit. So Mother Yashoda was feeding him. And yet all the guests in the village had come. And he was crying. So she pacified him and he got sleepy after eating. And she put him still he was in his little cot, his bed, underneath this big cart. And this big cart held all the her utensils. They weren't made out of plastic, or they were made out of metal, as you still see in the villages around India. And it was full. It was a big cart. It was quite high, and she put him underneath. And she told little children, the other boys a little bit older, just watch him, make sure he's okay. And she went to tend to the guests who had come to offer their prayers and associate with Mother Yashoda. And suddenly Krishna woke up and he began crying. Now, if a seven-year-old is this big and a three-month-old child is, maybe, I don't know, been a long time, but they're little. Not this little, though, but it depends. Well, okay. Is this okay? No. That's smaller than this? Huh? Stretch them. Anyway, just how delicate they're on. The skin is so soft, and they have no muscles. He's just had enough strength to turn over. Just barely enough to his little body, he can turn it over. And there he was, sitting, lying on his back, and he started crying. And when children's little babies start crying, they start kicking their legs. And a demon, as Sakata means it, a cart. So he had no form, but he entered into the cart. And the cart had, because of the weight of the demon, it had sunk into the ground, some of our acharyas say. And then this little kicking of this delicate babies, little delicate soft feet, calls the entire cart, killed the demon in the entire cart with a great crash because it was all filled with utensils, metal utensils and plates and bowls and pots and whatever and stirring things. It went and went crashing to the ground. And everyone who was there, they turned around to see what had happened. And they saw the little baby there. And they ran over, Mother Yashoda and all the, ran over, what happened, what happened? And all the ladies said, or the little boys they asked said, well, little Krishna kicked his feet and it smashed the cart and caused everything to break apart and come falling down. And Mother Yashoda just grabbed the boy. And no one believed the children because how could they believe them? Because he's just such a little boy, beautiful and attractive as he is. His lips were all powerful. His tiny feet were all powerful. The tips of his toes were all powerful. And at the age of one, this is the cowherd men talking to Nanda, trying to understand this boy. And they said, at the age of one, while sitting peacefully, he was taken up into the sky by the demon Trinavarta. But baby Krishna grabbed the demon's neck, causing him great pain, and thus killed him. Another incident where he proved himself all-powerful. This time his arms were all-powerful because he was a one-year-old child, and here's another little example. When you throw little children, I mean, we don't like throw them, but parents, I think fathers more than mothers. And what do the kids do when you throw them? Any kids want to volunteer? No. What do the children do? What do? They laugh all the time. They laugh because they enjoy that sensation. So this little Krishna boy wanted to enjoy the sensation of going high in the air, and that was only one of his reasons. He wanted to show how beautiful he was to the residents of the heavenly planets, especially the ladies. And he spread his fragrance throughout the universe. So this demon, first of all, Mother Yashoda was carrying him. And then suddenly, knowing that the demon was going to come, sent by Kamsa, Yogamaya made Krishna as heavy as the universe. And Mother Yashoda is carrying him. And suddenly, this boy became so heavy she couldn't carry him anymore, so she placed him on the ground, and then, not knowing what happened, she went inside the house to worship the devatas, the demigods, to remove this curse or whatever had happened that made the boy so heavy or her so weak. Just she went in there to offer some prayers for the boy, and suddenly this Trinavarta had come down, and he spread a darkness throughout Braja, and the leaves and the wind and the dust was everywhere, causing everyone to take shelter. And he picked up, and their intelligence also was covered. And this, was that a mobile phone? No. Please put your mobile phones on cow ringtone. Or turn them off, still better. So he took Krishna in the sky. And when you pick up a child like that, they hold on tightly. And Krishna first became light. He was as heavy as the universe, then he became light. And then the demon took him up and he started getting heavier and heavier and heavier. As he went, after Krishna had enjoyed his ride through the sky and the upper planets, He'd be so heavy that the demon wanted to get rid of him. Trinavarta wanted to get rid of him. And Krishna's arms just held, just like a child, he held him tightly around his neck, and he couldn't push the child away. And Krishna held on tighter and tighter, because his lips were all powerful, and his arms were all powerful, and his toes were all powerful. And the demon fell crashing and fell on a rock very close to the area where he was taken away in Gokul and died. And everyone came rushing out again and saw this Trinavarta in his form, and they took Krishna off his lap, around him. And Mother Yashoda again had, she had just again, she had so much love, and she put him down just for a moment because he was heavy, and she went inside for a moment, and then she came out, and he was gone. Sunyaya te jagat sarvam. There was no meaning to the universe anymore for her. This is love. Separation from Krishna. And then Krishna returns and the demon is killed. And such exaltation, exhilaration of transcendental emotions. This is the, not the Shantarasa, but this is the Bhakti Rasamrita. This is Bhakti Rasa Amrita, Sindhu, an ocean. Where this is what the nectar devotion describes. There's big, every once in a while, there's a big tsunami of ecstasy. And then there's different smaller waves, the Vyabhacharima, that are hitting each other. And this is what's going on. It's an ocean of continuous change and shifting of ecstasy. It's not, again, just... Next, so they're thinking Krishna had killed him, Trinavarta. And then once, his mother had tied him with ropes to a grinding mortar, because she had caught him stealing butter, the unlimited, all-inclusive, all-powerful, absolute truth, stealing butter. Now, put that into your philosophical mind. Put that into your scientific computer and see what you get. It's a paradox. It just doesn't fit. And then, after she tied him to the grinding mortar, she said, you're feeding butter to the monkeys. I won't transgress on the next... And then he, so many different things happen, but he ended up pulling the mortar into the, and then tied with the rope, and the two trees fell down, and the rope didn't break. I won't speak any more about this, or there'll be trouble at home later. Yes, dear. Next slide, quick. Another time, when Krishna was tending the calves in the forest together with Balaram and the cowherd boys, the demon Bakasura, now this is out of order, by the way, from the actual occurrence as described in the 10th canto. The cowherd boys and Balaram, and this was just after Krishna entered the Vrindavan forest, very soon after they entered for the first time, which is such a wonderful pastime. So this Bakasura, who was the brother of Putana and Agasura, what a family. The demon Bakasura came, and he was in the shape of a heron or crane, and he was huge. Like a mountain, it is said, he was so huge. And he was in, I think it was Kadiravan, and he was there, which is relatively close to Govardhan. And he was there And he was didn't move. And the cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram, they looked at him and they were wondering, what is this mountain? And the boys all took out their cowherd boarding sticks and they started going closer to it to see what it was. And Krishna was, and suddenly this mountain came alive. And he started pecking at Krishna because he too was a friend of Kamsa, a demon. And then we know the pastime is he grabbed Krishna, and again, watch the rasa that's being generated. That the cowherd boys saw that Krishna was being attacked and then even swallowed by this demon. And Balaram, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, in the mood of a cowherd boy, he and the rest of the cowherd boys, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, although it is not directly stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they fainted. Because again, Krishna was everything to them. And to see him in pain, to conceive of Krishna in any difficulty caused them a million times more pain than if the difficulty was happening to them. This is the nature of love. And they had unlimited spiritual love for Krishna, who is unlimitedly beautiful and unlimitedly charming, unlimitedly powerful, unlimitedly attractive. And when they saw him in that difficult situation, they fainted. And then the demon coughed him out because he was unlimited and you can't swallow Krishna unless he wants you to swallow him, allows you to. As he did with Bakasura Agasura when he went inside. And then Krishna, as we know, he ripped him, his beaks apart, and bifurcated him, just like Jarasandha, but just like a child can take a blade of grass and split it apart so easily. And then the cowherd boys, oh, Krishna is such a hero, our Krishna. Our Krishna. This is the speciality of Braja. It is our Krishna. He is not, oh Krishna. He's our Krishna. He's our friend. Living in a village like this is like living. It's like everyone's living in the same house, practically speaking. And everyone knows each other's business too. And Krishna. And Krishna is just exchanging love with them. This is Braja. It's all about exchanging with Krishna. And we're being invited to enter. But we can't unless we develop. We can, yeah. So perhaps some go slowly in their development and some go quickly. But we want to move in this direction. Next. And then, so the cowherd men are thinking about all these things and they're speaking to Nanda Maharaj, desiring to kill Krishna. The demon Vatsa disguised himself as a calf because Kamsa was thinking, how every person that I send, all my friends who I send, who are so powerful, they're killed one by one. I have to be more clever. Who does Krishna love the most? At this time, Krishna was not yet a cowherd boy, he was a calfherd boy. He loves the calves. He loves the calves. So, call Vatsasura. So Vatsasura got his assignment to put himself in the form of a calf and infiltrate with the other calves. He entered with the other calves into the herd. I guess calves are in a herd too. And they were all resting there. And Krishna was with Balaram. And Krishna said to Balaram, "Do you see that calf over there? Yeah. Just look at his eyes. Look at how he stares at us with hate-filled eyes. I don't think he's a calf at all." "Yeah," Balaram said. "I think he's a demon," Krishna said. Balaram said, "Be careful when you deal with him." So Krishna went and started making his way through the calves, herd of calves. And he went to the near calves, and he would massage their legs because they were young. And Krishna loves the calves. He would massage their legs to ease the pain of their young legs. And of course they were going out into the forest to some degree. And he would place his forehead on the forehead of the calves. Can you imagine? And he would say, "Do you miss your mother?" "Don't worry, you'll be home soon." This is Jiva Goswami makes this. And one by one, but Krishna was making his way towards Vatsasura. And Vatsasura is thinking, "He trusts me." And Krishna is thinking, "He trusts me." So when he got to Vatsasura, as he was massaging the legs of all the calves, he held onto Vatsasura's legs tightly. And he pulled them out. And he began. Balaram had actually said to Krishna, according to Jiva Goswami, "You have to be very careful when you kill him because he's a calf. This isn't proper to kill a calf." So Krishna said, "Yes, I'll do it in a way that everyone will understand that he's a demon." So he grabbed him by the... wheeled him around until he was forced circumstantially by the discomfort, by his consciousness being disoriented, to assume his real form of a demon. So he wheeled him around until he assumed the form of a demon, and then he killed him by throwing him into a bell tree or a kapita tree or one tree or another. And then the boys, again, "Look what Krishna's done. We thought he was a calf and he was actually a demon. And Krishna's so wonderful." And they would make up songs about how wonderful Krishna was acting, and they would sing these songs as they returned to Braja, and everyone in Braja heard about what Krishna had done on that day. And all of Braja, "Oh, Krishna, oh, Krishna, the cowherd boys, oh, Krishna, the calves, oh, Krishna." Everyone loves Krishna because he is the ultimate lovable person. And then, desiring to... Yes, next, please. Together with Balaram, because they saw that Balaram was had the power of Krishna. They killed the jackal. Krishna killed the jackal. They said Krishna killed him, but it was actually Balaram killed Dinukasura because Krishna thought, because they were in what forest? Talavan. Raise your hand if you've been to Talavan. Raise your hand if you've not been to Talavan. Raise your hand if you've not been to Talavan but would like to go to Talavan, yeah. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the earth as very dark there. And it is, no rocks, farming, all farming. It's on the other side, on the eastern side of Govardhan. And in the hot season, the tall f- fruits really, they really bloom and blossom. The fruits come, and they're very tasty and they're very fragrant. Raise your hand if you've ever eaten a tal fruit. Yes? You like? It's very cooling. And you eat them in a funny way, like this, yes? They have a groove in it. So, the boys, thinking that Krishna must want to enjoy this, they said, "Oh, Krishna, we are so thirsty. Can you smell? Because in that season, there's the wind blows from the east towards this side, to the western side. They were on the other side of the hill of Govardhan. Can you smell the fragrance of those tal fruits? Can you smell it? Krishna, let's go and let's get them. Let's have some tal fruits." But they said, excuse me, I have to drink before this one. But they said, there's a problem. Krishna said, what's the problem? No one can go into that forest because it's protected by Dhanukasura. He's a donkey, an ass. And he's very powerful. And when Krishna Balaram heard this, they said, oh, he's very powerful. He's a donkey. And he's very powerful. A donkey. He's really powerful. A powerful donkey. And they just started laughing and laughing and laughing. They couldn't stop laughing. A powerful donkey. And everyone started laughing. A powerful donkey. It was a very funny scene. Powerful donkey. So Krishna put Balaram in front because this is my favorite story. It's so funny. Power is a donkey. So, because Balaram hadn't killed any demons so far, so he wanted, and he's the elder brother, so Balaram walked first, and they entered the forest, and Balaram grabbed the tall trees, and he began shaking them, and all the fruits fell down. And hearing the sound of the falling fruit, that powerful donkey, with all his donkey friends came out. And they were shaking the fruits, and they were laughing so hard, all the boys in Krishna Balaram, that Dhanukasura was furious because he was a powerful, so powerful. He was so furious that he came, and the way the donkeys attack, they turn their back on the person, and they kick with their powerful hind legs. So Dhanukasura kicked Balaram in the chest, and Balaram was laughing so hard he didn't even notice, which made Dhanukasura even more furious. And then he came and stood right in front of Balaram and turned his back on Balaram. Now that's insulting too. So he turned his back on Balaram and he flew out his powerful hind legs. And Balaram just grabbed those legs because he had seen what Krishna had done with Vatsasura. So he wanted to do the same thing. So he threw me, spun him around and around and around, and threw him into a tal tree because Krishna had to do it so many times because the demon was in the shape of a calf. But Dhanukasura was just a donkey. So he threw him into the trees, and all the donkey friends came out. And Krishna and Balaram, in the Bhagavatam BBT edition, there's this wonderful painting of Krishna and Balaram throwing the demons and the trees. So it was securing the safety of the Talavan forest, which was abounded with fully ripened palm fruits. So how is Krishna doing? The coward men are speaking to Nanda Maharaj, your boy, and he lifted the hill and he did all this. Let me just check the time. And after arranging, 4:30. So what time we go to? Six. Okay, so I have to hurry up. So after arranging for the mighty Lord Balaram to kill the demon Pralamba, Krishna saved the brother cowherd boys and their animals from a forest fire. And then Krishna chastised. So each of these pastimes are so full of rasa, so full of exciting sweetness, where Krishna is doing wonderful things and the Brijbasis are all they're all in the ecstasy of their love for Krishna. And that ecstatic ocean is churning and moving this way and that way and big waves and this and that. All these pastimes have that. And Krishna drove, humbled Kaliya by dancing upon his heads, because that's a humiliation for this snake who thought he was so powerful, an envious snake. He thought himself so powerful, and Krishna would dance upon his head. And he would do this kind of dance. If you've seen any Bharatanatyam or maybe there are some Bharatanatyam dances here, or the Odissi dance, or what's the other one in South India? Katak, or where they They bang their heels against as they're dancing. Boom, boom, boom. And he's banging his heels against Krishna, Kaliya's heads, and the demigods are like playing music. And it's turned turned into a terrible scene where the Brijbasis were in complete anxiety because Krishna was enwrapped in the coils of Kaliya, and suddenly Krishna expands himself, he frees himself, and he's dancing on the heads of this demon, and the demon is trying to bring all of his thousands of heads, and Krishna's ta-da, 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 and the demigods are playing, flowers are coming, and it's turned into this incredible festival with dance. This is where Bollywood movies get their inspiration. They dance on the wings of planes and things like that or something. But here, this is where it comes from. It's in the culture. The dancing of Krishna. And then finally, Kaliya comes out and he gets the wives of Kaliya pray. And then Kaliya himself, broken, he surrenders. And he says, Tavangirino Spalasharaka. That's the prayers of them, but I don't remember the prayer of Kaliya. But he says, Sarpa Jati Urumangara, Urumangara, something. Katam Chajasam Tam Mayam Dustyajam Mohitam Swayam. That, what can I do? I'm born Sarpa Jati. I'm born in a family of serpents. And I have this nature. This is completely under your control, the control of Maya. And it is more powerful than me. I'm forced to act by these modes of nature. But you are the controller of Maya. By your mercy, you can make me much better than I am. I surrender to you. A very beautiful prayer by Kaliya. And then they say, excuse me. What are you thinking as I'm turning the pages? It's always interesting to see if you're thinking about Krishna in a wonderful way. Yes. Somehow this isn't the verse I have. Go to the English, please. Oh, yes, but I have some. Oh, it's on the bottom. Yes. Dischidas Chanuragos men. Now, the pastimes, the explanation of the cowherd men about Krishna's pastimes have ended. And now they're going to express something else about Krishna that is deep within their hearts. Dischidas Chanuragos men. But despite him being so powerful, we cannot give up our anurag for him, our unlimited affection. Because someone who's so powerful, there's always fear in the heart. Reverence, meaning, and fear. But your boy is different. Our anurag, our affection for him, dominates, completely controls, and envelops our relationship with him. Just like when the lights go off, darkness envelops everything. Sarvesham no vrajokasam. Yeah, maybe you can bring it right here. But not only on our part do we feel this way about Krishna, but every single resident, Brajokasam, every single resident of Braj loves Krishna in this way, that they cannot give up their love for him. Dear Nanda, Nanda Te Tanaya Asmu, so. For you, we can't give up our love for him. And even more astounding in one sense is that he doesn't give up his love for us. It's not just us who love him. He completely loves us. Tasyapi anupatika katam. Yeah, there's two sides. This is completely natural. Okay. This is completely natural, swabhavika. It is completely natural that we love him. It is spontaneous, it is natural, and it is completely spontaneous and natural that he loves us. Please, dear Nanda, how is it that we and all the other residents of Braja cannot give up our constant affection for your son? That's the anurag. And how is it that he is so spontaneously attracted to us? Now, I've spoken mostly, but now I'm going to read some comments by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Jiva Goswami. We've put them together because they're quite similar. They say, the Brijbasis say, that the attraction they have for Krishna, who attracts all hearts and is most beautiful, cannot be given up. Their attraction to him is natural, and it started immediately after Krishna's birth. This occurred despite our being unqualified. Again, they were saying they're not great scholars or great exalted sages, munis, living in the forest, performing austerities. They're just cowherd men. But yet, we have attraction for him. Why? Because of his wonderful qualities. Though he is your child, they say to Nanda Maharaj, he's not our child. Our attraction to him is very strong. And not only do we have parental affection for him, not only that, not only do the boys have friendly affection for him, and not only do all the male and female animals and birds of the forest have affection for him, but that affection increases At every moment, anandam buddhivardhanam pratipatam. And we cannot give up that affection to Krishna because it is part of us. It is completely natural. And therefore, we conclude that he must be the Supreme Lord. He must be the super soul in everyone's heart. But if we accept him as the Paramatma, how is it possible that he's also attracted to us? Because Paramatma is neutral to everyone. What's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Samoham savabhuteshu name dveshost. But this boy is different from the Paramatma because he also loves us so much. And this, right at the very end, will become very, very apparent and very, very mystifying. And it will give us some glimpse of actually how much Krishna loves the Vrijbasis. And in that way, it will give us a little bit of impetus to love Krishna and move forward in that way. He can't be the Paramatma because the Paramatma wouldn't have such natural attraction for the inhabitants of Braja and even the animals in the forest. For the Paramatma is neutral. The Paramatma is self-satisfied. And being self-satisfied, he should be indifferent to everyone and everything. And he would not especially have a special attraction to us who are coward men engaged in worldly material life. Sanatana Goswami comments in this way. As they continued to discuss amongst themselves, they addressed Nanda with great affection, and they explained their great affection for Krishna. Although natural affection, anurag, although it arises when fear and respect for power are restricted or lessened, but even when Krishna shows, as we have just heard, his great power, they saw that their bhakti for him simply increases, although they should be filled with awe and reverence and their love should go down. They said that our anurag for Krishna is not ordinary. It continuously is increasing. And he is always protecting us from danger by his great power. And our affection for him should be decreasing as our awe and reverence and appreciation for his great power is increasing, but it doesn't. It remains natural, like heat coming from fire. This is the commentary of Srila Sanatana Goswami. And all of us, from the infants to the elders of Braja, we all experience this attraction to Krishna. We cannot give up attraction to he who attracts everyone's heart with his beautiful form, even though we ourselves are fallen and offensive. Therefore, he cannot be Narayan. He cannot be the Paramatma. He cannot be the source of all avatars. And he is not some other kind of avatar. He is completely different by his special, remarkable form as a child, full of inconceivable sweetness and power. He is like an ocean of inconceivable greatness. He must be some great person. But still, he performs extraordinary childish pastimes. He steals butter. He possesses all these inconceivably contradictory qualities Furthermore, we cannot give up our ever-increasing attachment for him, even though we see within him symptoms of the Supreme Lord. All right, they say, one may answer. Let us conclude that he is the super soul. But in reply, they state, but if he were the super soul, how could he have affection for us all? He would be neutral. So the final verse here. The final verse. On one hand, the boy is only 7 years old. And on the other, we see he has lifted the great hill, Govardhan. Therefore, O King of Braja, a doubt about your son arises within us. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami comment, because of these contradictory qualities, paradoxical, we see him both as a child and as the Lord. And this is contradictory or a paradox. Thus, we are confused. And although he manifests great power, we still have this natural affection for him that is continuously increasing. We do not fear him at all, because when there's power, there's always fear when one is confronted with power. But we do not fear him even the smallest amount. And despite his power, we cannot give up attraction to your son, Krishna. O Nanda, O Lord of Braja, because you control Braja, everyone here is fortunate. Because you are the Lord of Braja, you alone can destroy our doubt about the identity of your son. Hare Krishna. So Nanda's reply is the subject of the next class. According to my calculation, we have another 3 minutes. What should we do in these 3 minutes? Should think about... Okay, one, two, three. It didn't work. Maybe we should do... rather. We'll save that for later this evening. But Krishna is so wonderful. We're supposed to be attracted to Krishna. And again, if we hear about Krishna and chant his holy names, and we're good boys and girls, our attraction to Krishna should increase eternally. Okay. Close your eyes and think about the form of Krishna that attracts you the most, and offer some very, let the best part of you offer some prayers to Krishna, and then you go for prasadam. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare.
everyone.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Now please go on Anaprasadam, Hare Krishna, and be here on time at 7 o'clock for a most amazing Leela of Krishna.